Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley with a few nuggets of truth to share with you today. And I hope you will be blessed as you let me share with you. Prayer is a very important aspect of our life and part of our life and should be exercised on a daily basis at least. But sometimes we get forgetful or busy and whatever, and we have good excuses for not praying. But I come to you challenging you that you should always be praying, always lifting up your heart in prayer, no matter what the circumstances you find yourself in. Recently, there has been the release of a discovery of some things that happened to the Jewish nation that at the time was not a nation in the 1930s and 40s, but when Hitler was doing his thing and had this radical attitude towards the Jewish people, many a soul has been critical of the Jewish people. Why didn't you get up and fight? Well, they weren't prepared, and they did not believe that such horrors would come their way. And they did not believe that things were going to get so ghastly that they could barely live. And only a few of those that started in places like Auschwitz and Dachau, which are the prison places for all the people that the Germans pushed around, took out of their homes and eventually gassed and shot and so on. And all the dreadful experimentation that they did on the bodies of those people long before they were dead. Well, we need to understand that God is on his throne in spite of the wickedness of man. Now we're seeing a resurgence of the wickedness of man in ISIS. What should we do? What should we be doing? I believe we should continue to pray. The apostle writes in Revelation 3:17, I am rich, I am increased in goods, and have need of nothing, is the attitude of many people. And that is the attitude of a lot of people in this country because we are rich compared to the poverty of the rest of the world. Yet we are sick in our souls, and our souls are impoverished because we do not speak with our Lord Jesus. Well, I would like to bring to you some thoughts about this area of thinking we have everything and need of nothing, because the psalmist tells us in Psalm 40 and verse 17, I am poor and needy. Again, in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. All prayer is a very important thing, and we ought to discover what that means. The Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 6:11, says, give us this day our daily bread. And there is the material side of things that we need to be praying about. And we need to be speaking to one another about our prayers. We need not to boast that we have prayed for this, that, and the other because it was worked out, things are going our way, but that we need to say, there is an impoverishment within my soul, and I am praying, and I'm hoping, and I'm listening to what God is saying to me, because I read his word. Well, let's get on with this understanding, and let's see seven things quickly as I can deliver them to you. Based on this Revelation 3:17, I am rich and increased, and with goods and have need of nothing. Who can say such a thing? And rather we turn to the Lord, and we turn as the psalmist did in Psalm 40 and verse 17, I'm poor and needy. Now we come to this Ephesians thing. where we hear the apostle saying, praying always with all prayer. There's something that I need to get down to, and I need to understand, and I need to be listening to the Lord Jesus Christ when he is so basic, and he says, give us this day our daily bread. I'm not presenting something that is foolish, and I'm not so foolish as to think that we won't suffer some starvation. I believe that we are in the last days, and these last days are spitting out all sorts of vitriol towards God. And the vitriol that we see is turning the attention of man away from God and to man and his ability to provide for himself. We are so prideful and so absolutely sure of ourselves that we have to be wrong. The drought that is in Northern California, the drought that's here in Oregon, we are all suffering because there is this drought and there is not enough water to go around, and we haven't got the resources stored up anywhere to counteract this drought. We have not had the snow that we usually have had in the past. We have not seen the rain. And yet we've had some terrible storms. And you look across the country and the water is wasted in the flooding of the eastern side of the country. And here in the west, we have nothing to waste. We need the waste that they waste. We just need God to be on our side. So Jesus says this, we have daily needs, pray for them. Give us this day our daily bread. And we must understand that Israel needed bread. And when they needed that bread, they prayed and God provided them with bread. Now, the manna that comes down from heaven may not be the sort of food you particularly like or want. But we must understand that God in his sovereignty understands very clearly what his plan is. And if we are hungry, and many of us could go without a few meals and not be noticed because we're so chubby and fat from all the things we've been eating, we need to get ourselves and say, Lord Jesus, please, will you provide to me my daily bread? When you pray and you say your grace before a meal, are you thankful? Are you grateful for all that you have on your table? One of the reasons why I think prayer is dying in our families is because we eat, and we eat out, and we eat on the run, and we just throw the food in and hope that that will satisfy us, and we drive on to our destination, but we don't have a sit down with the family, and we don't sit down and thank God, even if it's chips and fish that's deep fried that isn't perhaps as good for us as other things, but we don't thank God for our food. If in these small things we're not thanking God, then how can we thank him and ask him for bigger things? But our minds seem to click and go well into the bigger so that we can say that we have prayed and are very important as prayers, and we're talking with God and we're not even beginning to talk with God. There's innumerable ways that we need to be praying, and such a variety of things to be praying for, including the manna that God will give us, including the food that he will miraculously arrange. A few days ago, there was a knock at our door and a lady stood there. She said, I had some extra meat and I thought, well, I'll take this to the pastor. And she brought us in a great dish of remarkable food. And it was just delicious. And we just enjoyed that meal as God had provided it. It was still piping hot, and she had hurried from her house and brought it to us and laid it on our table, and then she vanished, and we had a most gorgeous meal. I would say to you that God is able to do that without worrying and without causing us to fear. You have a need, pray. Now, we find ourselves in a place where there needs to be immeasurable intensity of prayer. And that doesn't mean over the lips and through the teeth, and look out stomach, here it comes. Prayer is not a trite thing. Prayer is a thing that we should understand, that we stand in the presence of Almighty God who created this entire universe. And because we have that wonderful ability to stand in his presence, it's because of the blood of Jesus that was shed, and it's because of the resurrection of Jesus that was given, and we have life eternal, and therefore we come into the presence of God with boldness, says the Apostle Paul, and we can ask. And again, Jesus speaking says our prayers are to be incessant in their appeal. As soon as one is met, another arrives. So our days should be filled with prayer. Filled with prayer. We're praying for our young people that belong to our family. We pray for the girls that will marry the young men and the young man that will marry our only granddaughter. And we're asking God daily that he will bless them with one another and that their lives shall be so full of the presence of Jesus as a result of settling down and settling in prayer. All things need to be prayed over. It shouldn't just be food. Well, now the second thing I leave with you quickly is found also in Matthew 6, verse 8. And again, it's spoken of in verse 32. Jesus says simple words. He says, your Father has knowledge. Your Heavenly Father knows what your daily needs are. Israel had to be reminded, and so they were on a fixed diet of manna, and nobody really has defined what manna is, but it was full of all the nutritions that we need, and God for 40 years provided it for the Israelites, and it couldn't have been fun to go to the local restaurant, because what would you do? What would you like to have? Manna roasted, manna fried, manna boiled. How would you like your manna? And some people today wouldn't even be bothered to go because we would know what the menu was. But the things that these people had need of, if you go to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5, you discover that they needed clothes and they needed water. And Numbers 20 and verse 11 tells us about the water. Changing the position a little bit, Elijah needed to be supplied with food. And you read in 1 Kings 17 verses 3 through 6, the ravens brought his food. Now, isn't that just plain remarkable? But I've been watching the ravens where we live, and I've been watching them in the field and how they tear into a badger that's dead laying in the field, perhaps, or they help to pull a carcass of a deer or antelope apart. And I wonder exactly how fresh the meat was that they brought to Elijah morning and evening, and what that meat was. It certainly doesn't tell us that it was sirloin steak. We need to understand that God knows what we have need of. A widow had a need and it was supplied. Look at 1 Kings again, and chapter 17, verses 9 through 16. She had a tremendous need. She was just going to eat the food that she had left, and she and her son were going to sit down and die because it was the last meal that they would have. There was no more prospect of getting any more food at all. And so they were prepared to die. I suggest to you very strongly, this woman's gratitude for the supply of food was absolutely enormous. But notice, as you read that piece of scripture from 1 Kings 17, notice that Elijah says, well, never mind what your discussion is, feed the man of God first. And the woman was obedient. She fed him the last of her meal. And then she looked in the pot, and there was still more in the pot. And she fed herself and her son. And the next day, she fed the man of God. And then she fed herself and her son. And so it went on until the drought was lifted. God looked after this woman. She was a widowed woman, by the way. It wasn't Meals on Wheels. This was the gift of God in a miraculous way, giving what was needed. And he still does this sort of thing. Oh, I know that you perhaps have got arguments against what I'm saying, but I would say to you, you're completely wrong. In Cana of Galilee, they ran out of wine at a wedding. You can read the story yourself in John 2, and it's in the first part of that chapter and verses 1 through 11. And the mother of Jesus said, ask him about it. And he said to the men that were pouring out the wine, he said, well, you go down to the river, collect in your large pots water and bring it back. And when you do, I'll be here. And they came back and he said, now you pour out that wine. They poured out that wine and it was the most gorgeous wine, the most matured wine that anybody had had that day. So that the man who looked after the feasting of this wedding, the MC of it, he came to Jesus and said, look here, this is a remarkable thing that you have done, but most people, you know, they give the good wine at the beginning and then it tailors off and the lesser wine is delivered to people as they get a little drunk. They don't care what they're drinking. But you've done it reverse. You save the best to last. God will have the best for the last. He will feed us. He will give us to drink. And I believe this with all my heart. There were 5,000 men, very likely more than 20,000 people. If families were only four strong, that was four people. So you take 5,000, multiply it by four. That's how many people at least were at the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus said to his disciples, what have we got? Well, we've got a few fish and a couple of loaves, but what's that amongst all these people? And Jesus said, you feed them. Bring me the fish. Bring me the bread. And they brought it to him and he broke it. And as he was breaking it, he was praying. And Jesus was lifting his heart up before God and he was saying, thank you for allowing this exhibition of your enormous grace. I thank you that you have made this decision. Nothing happens in this world that God hasn't got a finger in. And so we discover the 5,000 was fed. You can read it for yourself in Matthew 14 and verses 15 through 21. And then if you go to Psalm 34 and verse 10, and Psalm 50 in verse 10, you realize that the Lord Jesus is with us all the time. Go to John and chapter 21, verses 5 through 12. Jesus is saying, have you caught any fish through the night? Many times we do some great thinking and we get very involved in this, that, and the other, but it's pretty futile. If God is in it, it can be the smallest thing and it's enough. If God is not in it, it can be the biggest thing and it's not enough and never will be. And the disciples sort of hung their heads. They were still in the boats looking at Jesus, and he said, "Have you got anything during the night for all this endeavor and all this work and all that you have done? Have you got anything to show for it?" And they said, "No. We have been industrious. We have thrown in the net. We have cast the net. We have drawn the net in. We have nothing." "Oh," said Jesus, "then you cast in on the wrong side of the boat, on the other side of the boat." And they did, and they caught 153 fishes. One commentator has said, "Why 153? And he follows that up by saying, "Because there are 153 species of fish in the Lake of Galilee." Whether that is correct or not, I've never really been able to check out. But what a wonderful thing. They had so much fish, they couldn't eat it all. They couldn't even get it into the boat. And the boat started to canter over and sink a little. And Peter was working so hard to get the net in, because he was the big fisherman, you remember. And John, who was a little more lithe and much younger, he said, "You know, that's the Lord Jesus standing on the shore, resurrected from the dead, and this is his miracle." So God is in the business of miracles. God is in the business of answering prayer. And I believe this so passionately. I'm sure all of us have gone through experiences where if it were not for God, we would have never had anything good happen to us. This starts sometimes in a hospital. We see somebody so terribly ill. I was called to the bedside of a good friend a few years back, and they said, "Now, you put this gown on and this mask because his chest is open." And I looked in and I could see his heart beating and could see what was going on with his internal organs. I don't know that I understood anything, but I could see it. And we prayed, his wife and I prayed over him and asked God to give him some more time. And you know, that's about 7 or 8 years ago, and he is still around today, and he is still functioning today, and he is still just as awkward as he used to be and just as kind as he used to be, and so on and on. What a remarkable answer to prayer, that years later we're still praising God for his life. Another phone call came not long after that to pray for a dear, dear friend whose name is Al, and he had a similar situation, and he had this massive heart attack. Well, by the time I got to Boise to see him, he had already rallied, turned around, and was getting well and held a conversation that was intelligent with me. And I, after prayer, left praising God and thanking God. And that dear man is well into his 90s now, is still alive. I believe God answers prayer. I believe that God has reason to give us situations that we have to pray, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We need to pray. Pray. You've got problems with your children. You've got problems with your spouses. You've got problems in your family. You've got problems in the job market. You've got all these problems that build up. You feel absolutely useless sometimes, and you can't change certain things, but God does and can, and will, but ye have not because ye ask not. Sometimes your asking is not correct. Let me quickly say this in closing. The way to come to God in prayer is to admit that you are spiritually bankrupt. Will he please fill you up with the spirituality and the presence of Jesus, that Jesus may have all the honor and all the glory, for his death sealed our pardon, and his resurrection gave us new life. Believe that, act upon it, and fall upon your knees and thank God he is there. Well, I've only covered three of these seven things that I wanted to, but maybe in our next program we'll cover the other four. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift up our hearts because we are in need, and our need is your presence. Our need is to hear your voice. And we pray, speak, Lord, in the stillness as we wait on thee, and hush, oh, hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Help those dear people who are desperately in need of help. Bless a dear people that can hear my voice, whose prayers are full of anguish and agonizing. And we ask you, Lord, touch those that are sick. Touch those that are in need and give us our daily bread. Will you help us, please? Without your help, we have no help. And we thank you for all things. Amen. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, start praying. And if you've been lax or you've been inadequate in prayer, go and pray. Take time out. This is a great day. It's a day when you can pray for your pastor and his family, that the church may be filled with his spirit. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.